This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The depth chart is out in Denver.
158!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It certainly causes you to hit the brakes on Bo Nix starting week one in Seattle because he's third on the depth chart.
Awkward!
Jared Stidham, one. Zach Wilson, two. Bo Nix, three.
Earlier on the show, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, two-time Emmy Award-winning actor Tony Hale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Lots going on. Dan Quinn, we just chatted with the brilliantly funny and talented and just awesome human Tony Hale will be in studio in hour number three. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Here on the program, we kick off hour number two with our friend from The Athletic and Fox Sports, his annual freak athlete list coming into the college football season was released yesterday on The Athletic. Our friend Bruce Feldman here on The Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Bruce. How are you?
Good to see you.
Boy, you're a timely guest because news is breaking. About 15 minutes ago, the NCAA issued a show cause order and a one-year suspension from the NCAA Committee on Infractions on my neighbor across the way, Jim Harbaugh, they said it was because he violated. It's all for what was going on during the COVID dead period in 2021. This has nothing to do.
This is not the Connor Stallions investigation. This is a separate one,
right?
Which, remember, like, he was suspended earlier in last season for that. That was the self-sanctions that Michigan had
done.
The
three games to start the season.
It wasn't the three games on the back end that the Big Ten punished him for that was related to the signal stealing. This, the one that the NCAA Committee on Infractions handed down today, which is a four-year show cause, which basically means if somebody tried to hire Jim Harbaugh, it would be much harder to do it. At least if somebody in the NCAA world tried to hire Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is now the coach of the Chargers. He just won a national title. I don't think Jim Harbaugh has any interest in coaching anywhere in college football anytime soon, probably again. So
then why do it?
It's the NCAA. They're going to finish up with whatever they started, and they feel like they have to. They have no power in this one, really. They can shame Jim Harbaugh, and that's the extent of it.
Well, what is the extent of what he did, based on what you know? I know, again, this is like old news.
So some of the stuff, it's funny, because Herm Edwards, who's now, works in TV and left ASU, he also had recruiting violations from the COVID dead period when you weren't supposed to be contacting recruits. And there was a lot of very specific rules into that time that they were operating around. And Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, the NCAA felt like was also believed that they were also operating in the red. Now, on top of that, Jim Harbaugh didn't cooperate with them. So he had level two violations, but they felt like he was misled them, and so in that regard it becomes
that's the
a level
show
one.
Calls that's the what
level
the,
that becomes a level one
raised up
level
to the,
one is more significant in the NCAAs than the level two,
right? His lawyer, Harbaugh's lawyer, Tom Mars, put out a statement, I think just as you were walking in the door here, quote, saying, "The way I see it from Coach Harbaugh's perspective, today's COI decision is like being in college and getting a letter from your high school saying you've been suspended because you didn't sign the yearbook. If I were in Coach Harbaugh's shoes and had an $80 million contract as head coach of the Chargers, I wouldn't pay any attention to the findings of a kangaroo court, which claims to represent the principles of the nation's most flagrant repeat violator of the federal antitrust laws." So that's the answer from the Mars law firm.
Yeah, Harbaugh has a good lawyer in Tom Mars. Tom Mars has battled at the NCAA on a lot of fronts over the years. So I'm not surprised that he came out pretty forcefully on that. I know that there was a lot of frustration from the Harbaugh camp on some of the things that the NCAA tried to, in terms of timetable and how they were handling some of these investigations.
Yes.
It's messy. It really is. I mean, just the practicality purposes. The four-year show cause, again, he won a national title. He's not going back. Like, show cause or not, he wasn't going back. I don't know. It's not the thing that you'd be more concerned if you're Michigan is on the signal stealing investigation, because that's tied to your current sitting head coach
and
now.
And the future potential years of the program. And so this comes on the heels of your colleagues at ESPN, Dan Murphy and Pete Thamel, getting a copy of the draft.
Yes.
Of the
Yeah, it's not the final
listing of allegations that
right. It's a draft.
Down.
Yeah, and I think
how does a draft get out, Bruce?
How does a draft get out? I know the Athletic has talked to some folks about it too. The people on that side of it,
yeah.
I think are, I don't want to say they want to get their side out in front of the news, but mm-hmm. I think that sometimes happens. I mean, because why would it? How else would it get out?
So then where is it going? Let's tie this off, if you will. And it has nothing to do with me not wanting to talk about it. I mean, I had Dan Murphy on for 20 plus minutes talking about it on Monday. You know, it's just there's a new season coming out. And I'd like to hit that a little bit with you. But where does this rest right now with Sherrone Moore, Michigan, and how this goes back and forth with an NCAA that just put a show cause out for potentially show purposes, you know, on this day? Where does this go,
Bruce? I think it's one of the issues that the NCAA had relating to Sherrone Moore was deleted text messages. Now, was it a damning allegation in there that it was going to be reach a level one status, or, you know, right now it's level two from our understanding.
And our understanding is he erased those text messages on the day the Stallions thing popped.
Yeah, so it looks really bad. And
right, I think they got it back, and then he did, in fact, hand those text messages in. They are in receipt of those text messages.
I think they have them, yes.
Right. So they've seen what the conversations were that he deleted.
Yeah, now whether it's innocuous or not, I think the hard part for Michigan on this, at least the people at Michigan now, mm-hmm. is just the optics of it have been messy. Now, the practicality of it, to me, as we sit here, you know, whether they, and I don't know if it's going to get to this point, whether the NCAA is going to try to redact a national title that happened and everybody saw it. The other thing that happened after it was Charlie Baker, who's the new head of the NCAA, came out and said Michigan won, quote, fair and square. I mean, those were his words. So, you know, like anything else, it's really just kind of like a big pile of stuff that the NCAA drops out there for everybody, and people believe out of it what they want. You know, I mean, on one hand, I think you're going to have a lot of folks who are going to go, you know what? That's why Jim Harbaugh left. He cheated and got ahead of the posse and left. And I think all these stories, whether it's the one today, which I think people will conflate and go, oh, yeah, that's the,
yeah,
you know,
right.
It's not that story. And then the other, that's not that investigation, I should say. And then there's the other part of this where I think because we're in this different era of the NCAA, this is not like the Reggie Bush, USC, you know, NCAA sanctions day. It's certainly not the day of like Yahoo's big investigation into Miami 20 years ago. It's just like right now, I think people look at it and say, okay, you have NIL, you have all the other things that are changing around the sport mm-hmm. that have changed how we look at the sport. I mean, right now you're going to have the green dot, you know, helmet in college football. So in terms of the communication, I'm not saying people won't still be signaling because you still have to signal stuff to the perimeter. Bless mm-hmm. you. But there's just a big change in all this. And I don't think people are going to get too bogged down when the games happen with this. You know, again, Sherrone Moore, basically Michigan had a head coach for, you know, half the Saturdays, right? And yeah. he was there in practice and everything else being Jim Harbaugh. But I think all that last year, I don't know how much more damning it's going to get out of it, you know, just in a practical sense.
All right. So part of the reason why I think Brockman sneezes, he's just allergic talking about this sort of thing because it is he's sick and tired of talking about it. He has a certain sense of it. I have one, too. But I think even, you know, Feinbaum, who loves to hit on Jim whenever he gets a chance and did it again this past week, he even said, most fans are turned the page. That was a championship. There's
that's
a new it. Season
yeah.
coming
that's,
up here.
That's why I brought up the Charlie Baker point. Charlie Baker's the head of the NCAA. When he,
right.
you know, at that point, when the head of the NCAA says after they win the national title, they won it fair and square,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know, you know, then the toothpaste is really out of the tube. I don't know, you know, what, you know, if you're most fans who are fans of college football who do not root for Michigan,
yes,
are going to go, yeah, they're cheaters.
Yeah, tainted, asterisk, and all that stuff. No matter how many times I sit at this microphone and say everything was ripped out root and branch, and they went ahead and beat Michigan State all the way through to winning the national championship with everything ripped out root and branch. But Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. The coaches poll, first coaches poll, is
it came out on Monday.
Is out. Yeah. It's out. And what was your opion of it?
It was kind of in line with where I thought it would go.
Uh-huh.
I was a little surprised that your alma mater did get one first place vote. They're sitting at 8, and you know there's 50 some votes or something like that, mm-hmm. and they actually got one of them at 8. Most of the votes went to Georgia. I think Ohio State had seven first place votes. Those are the two teams that I feel like are best positioned to play for the national title. Mm-hmm. I mean, Oregon's number 3. I think they're loaded as well. There was nothing really that shocked me when I looked at the poll in its entirety. I was a little surprised that USC made the top 25. I think they were only 23rd.
Yes.
But beyond that, you know, it wasn't anything I when I saw there, I was like, oh, I'm surprised to see Missouri at 11. Missouri had a terrific year. They're pretty loaded on offensively back. I mean, you look through this, I mean, you have to go a ways to find a Big 12 school. I think it's sitting there at Utah, the new member.
Yes,
of the
new
Big
member.
12. Yeah.
This also, I guess this sets up what we expected to be the first big game of the year, which is Texas at Michigan week 2. Do we call
week
it week 2?
Yeah, that's
week 1 of the NFL season. That's going to be huge in the state of
be
Michigan.
A big noon game. We're excited to get to Ann Arbor for that.
You're going to do that. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then you got the Lions hosting the Rams the Sunday night after that. So it's a huge football week in the state of Michigan.
Yes.
So that's a pretty big one right there. And
it's big also, Rich, because it is SEC versus Big Ten.
Yes, sir.
And we don't get too many of those heavyweight kind of matchups. That is absolutely going to be one.
And since those, they have a working group, right? Talking together?
Yeah, they do. And I do know this from running into Tony Petitti, the head of the Big Ten.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Definitely a lot of communication between the heavyweight, you know, big shots.
What do they talk about, do you think? What's your general sense here?
I mean, everything from like there was the scholarship number of like what it's going to be. I think they go through to try to have real alignment there. I think because they know their issues are different than the issues that almost everybody else who's in charge of a entity in college athletics really is dealing with.
Well, that's, you know, I feel like we go down a similar road when we have a conversation here. Those are the seeds from which I believe a Super League will eventually sprout. Whatever they're talking about, it may not be full-on conversations, but just having a conversation about that subject matter.
Well, that subject does
it
matter.
It grows into everything else out of it, and then eventually there will be a working framework of what the SEC and the Big Ten feel are multiple issues that they feel that they can solve together, and then who's coming with them? And then that will be the framework for everybody figuring out how to work football in a way that is as uniform as it possibly can be on so many fronts where there's no uniformity right now.
I think the different part of this, because there's a lot of parallels to people thinking, okay, this is going to get like the NFL. What I do think is different right now mm-hmm. is the TV partners, I feel like, are way more influential in those two leagues. And this, you know, full disclosure, I work at Fox, which is one of those
yes.
two bigger TV partners, especially as it relates to the Big Ten. But in the NFL, I'm not saying they don't have, and you know this way better than me, they don't care what their partners think on the broadcast side. But I feel like the NFL is driving the NFL's business.
Well, because they have an actual, you know, governing body with a commissioner and everybody and a uniformity and a salary cap. And we know the schedule and we know when free agency is and there's a contract and a union. So that's where I'm saying this is headed on every single one of those fronts, whether it's an impetus from the Supreme Court's decision or it's an impetus between a working group figuring out who's with them in the same boat. You know what I mean? Like, that's the point.
I also don't know, though, on that part, though. I remember hearing this anecdote about one of the owners in the NFL saying how, you know, on Sundays he roots for the Dallas Cowboys because it's good for business. You know,
yes.
I'd seriously doubt that there is like, you know, an AD who roots for Ohio State in the Big Ten who's not at Ohio State, you know, or yes. or whatever, where
sure.
because of it's really good for business. I just think that there's certain things that either need to shift. And I'm not saying you can't still get to the place you're talking about without that, because I mean, there's a lot of changes that have happened in the sport in the last 20 years that myself and a lot of other people didn't think they would get to, mm-hmm. and they've gotten to it. But those are the biggest, I feel like, disconnects right now.
Bruce Feldman here on Fox from Fox Sports and The Athletic here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about your latest piece in The Athletic. How do you put this list of freak athletes together? When does it start? How do you compile it? What do you got for me here?
Yeah, it starts, you know, it's almost a year-round project, but I really get very involved in it in the summer, in mm-hmm. the spring to the summer, coming out of spring football. And it's a ton of phone calls and text messages and emails. And I really do try to connect with every college football program in the country. And I'm Jeez. When I say every, I mean, there's Division II schools, there's every FCS school.
So what's the number of schools you think you reach out to? What's the grand total? Over 300?
Something? Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Rich, I have a subset of the freaks list today on a guy at Middlebury College Attaboy. In Virginia.
It's
in
like
Vermont.
Stump,
I'm sorry.
It's like stump the truck in our draft coverage. We're like trying to stump the freaks list here. You know,
10 months from now, Daniel Jeremiah will know exactly everything about Thomas Perry, who's a guard there, who's like has a 3.96 major in like molecular biology and something else. You know, and he's a 485-pound bench press guy, what? And he will be in the NFL.
And what's the name of this institution of higher learning?
Middlebury College in Vermont.
The Middlebury College?
Middlebury College. I guarantee you, if you knew a lot of good students in your high school,
yes,
you know, that was the caliber of school that they were probably looking to if they didn't want to go to a huge school.
I got it. Okay, so who else is jumping out that we'll see mostly on Saturdays, you think, on Big Noon bigger, or whatever. Bigger,
yeah, I mean, so look, your alma mater has a couple of guys high up on the freaks list. One of them is Kenneth Grant. Mm-hmm. He's 350 pounds and he runs a sub 5.0 40. He's rare. I mean, Michigan has had a bunch of freaks D linemen over the last
D tackles too. Well, like really
edge
in the
guys
middle
though,
too, right?
But, yeah. but you go through. You start with Rashawn Gary. You got Aiden Hutchinson. You got Quiddy Pay.
Yep.
Those were three high level draft guys. You had Mozzie Smith, who was a first round pick of the Cowboys.
Man, the Cowboys are still waiting on him.
Yeah, but he's only been out a year, right?
Right.
So you have Chris Jenkins last year, and but this guy's the biggest one. And he's probably the freakiest one. Yeah, I mean, he's almost 100 pounds bigger than some of those other guys.
Jeez.
And Justin Truss, who's their strength coach, he's a protege of Ben Herbert. He was telling me he thinks he's going to run in the 4.8s when he goes to the combine.
That would be insane.
You know, and you can watch. I mean, it's stuff people are like, oh, yeah, I remember that play. He ran down a Penn State running back in a game. It's not just stuff in the weight room. Then there's like Alex Orji, who's the front runner to be the quarterback from Michigan. I mean, the video we have of some of the freaky stuff that guy can do at 6'3 and almost 240 pounds is insane compared to other elite athletes there.
Yeah, I've heard some folks in Ann Arbor use the words Anthony and Richardson when they talk about him a little bit.
I don't know if he can throw it like that, but and he's, you know, but again, he's legit 6'3, 238. He's a 41-inch vertical jump inch guy, and he can do so much else.
Who else? So people don't accuse this being Michigan heavy here.
Yeah. So let's start with go to your arch rival. So J.J. Smith is a freshman receiver from South Florida, five-star guy. You know, he was a huge recruit. Everybody wanted him. He's arguably the most talented receiver that has come out of South Florida ever.
Is that the kid who flashed with the video in practice or something like that?
They
usually have multiple versions of that receiver in Ohio State.
I will
State,
say but. This, just from the people I trust around there. Uh-huh. He will be the best receiver Ohio State has ever had.
Come on now. We hear this every year, and they're right, you know, when they're like, here's Olave. Here comes Garrett Wilson.
He's bigger than Marvin.
Smith and
he's already
Marvin.
10 pounds bigger. He is stronger than Marvin. He's got better top end speed. And that's not a knock on Marvin Harrison. Yeah,
by the way, the fact that it could be any knock or anything perceived as a knock on him
I'm reading your write-up on this kid right now. He benches 355?
And he just graduated high school. He was there for, you know, he's been there for a few months. His strength is crazy. You know, he's basically an 11 foot broad jump guy.
So he's 18 years old?
Yeah.
So he's this at 18 years old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeremiah Smith.
Which means he's got 3 years in the, he's until the NFL can call him.
Two and he's sitting out one, right?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Everybody raves about his work ethic and his maturity, too, there.
That's great.
So, yeah.
No, that's cool. No, it's serious. It's honestly, it's great to see, you know,
I don't think Marvin,
I've seen it at the combine every year, bigger, stronger,
able
faster.
To beat Michigan. I feel very confident that Jeremiah Smith will be able to do that.
Who else do you have on the list you want to mention?
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of guys, not just obviously in, you know, Big Ten, but this is a year where you sit back. So I had the first time I've ever had a repeat number one guy, Nick Harbor. Nick Harbor is a 6'5", 242-pound receiver at South Carolina who ran 10-1 in the 100 meters and was qualifier for the NCAA championships this past spring.
Mm-hmm.
What's crazy about him is he is competing in those sprint track meets against guys who are 70 pounds lighter than him.
Mm.
Like, nobody's close to his size, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy who's way, way bigger than, like, Randy Moss and has that kind of speed. Now, he needs a lot more polish as a receiver. He started 5 games as a true freshman last year, but he's definitely one that, you know, he's just rare. Number two is Prime's guy, Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter, like, the freaky thing about him, he has just got an insane level, like, of a gas tank where 80 plays in, he looks like he just got out there and warmed up. You know, he's rare in that regard. You just don't see, like, we had him in the opener at TCU. It's 100 degrees out there. The plays he's making in the third quarter, you know, his ability to close on the ball is rare.
Isn't that what Deion said at halftime? You know, if the kid had caught it, the Heisman would already be at the crib in his halftime interview before he's run off the locker room.
Is he going to do that again this year, play 120 plays a game?
I would think so. I mean, then the challenge for him, because they were a 4-win team, is they need much more help in the trenches.
Well,
right?
It's sand in the pants. So. That's apparently what they were hitting, you know, in the period. You're skeptical of it?
What do you mean?
You skeptical that they got enough sand in the pants up front?
I think they've gotten... I think from the talent they brought in, they will be better this year. I think they can win 7-8 games and be bowl eligible.
Okay.
You know, the key thing, though, for everything, and you can say this with a lot of schools, but, like, they really need to protect Shador. Because if Shador goes down, I think they're going to be reeling.
Well, but he also got – Deion knows. I mean, he doesn't need to be told. His son got his –
Oh, he did.
Absolutely.
But it's hard, Rich. It's like that is the key
crap beaten out of
position to have cohesion. You know, they had an offensive line that basically was patchwork.
Yeah.
And I do know they've upgraded the talent part of that. So we'll see how it comes together. I like some of the moves they've made, you know, but people will be watching because it's like it's must-see TV, whether they win or lose.
You got one more freak before I let you go? Because I mean, we have time later on this month to start previewing the season a little bit more with you. But you got...
Yeah, I keep an eye on Florida State. They have two deep, you know, like, remember, they had two high-level D linemen who went to the draft last year.
I think they both went to the Rams, didn't they?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Darryl Jackson, 6'5", 330 pounds, runs almost 21 miles per hour. You know, 11-inch hands. Like, this is the guy, 36-inch arms.
Yeah.
Like, when I was talking to their strength coach about him, I was like, wanted to text DJ. I was like, you got to start, carve out some time to see this. Because this is a kid who's now on his third school. He started out at Maryland, went to Miami, sat out last year. They had a great defense. They lost some really good players. Mm-hmm. But I think their D-line is going to be really, really good. And it starts in the middle. And, again, I don't know if we talk enough about where Florida State was at the end of last year. You know, and they were the school I felt like got snubbed by the CFP. I think they're a top 10 team. You know, we'll see how they do on offense. Mike Norvell's always been good with that. But I just think they have some loaded, you know, they got Marvin Jones Jr. is now over there as a defensive end. But Darryl Jackson's one of those wow guys I think people will be buzzing about.
And again, I can't wait to talk more about the season with you writ large. 12-team playoff field, how that's going to totally reimagine the way we look at the season, I think, is I don't think that's covered enough. I don't think people realize how that's going to change things. It'll still be immense level of importance and intensity and interest. But, I mean, you know, 2-3-win teams that would all, that in the past we'd be like, yeah, well, forget it. Now we'll still
extend the season, still have a run, man. Yeah, you know? You also, like, you guys put up a graphic of the top 25, but a bunch of those teams in the top 10, they're not going to be ranked that way because you're going to have an ACC and a Big 12 team champion that are going to get first-round buys. So you may have a team that's, like, 10th in the country, but they're going to be third or fourth when it comes to the playoff. And I think that's a big adjustment for how a lot of us, and especially fans, are going to kind of process this new year, all the change.
You're the man. Thanks for coming in. Everybody should check out Bruce Feldman's work in The Athletic. You just scratched the surface on how deep and how wide the freaks of nature that play college football are. And I look forward to having you in studio on Wednesdays. Once again, I love your work, and you always make us smarter. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Bruce Feldman, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tony Hale's making his way to our studio, but when we come back, I believe Bobby Bones is jumping in here.
Hey.
Yeah. Just got to LA. We'll talk with Bobby Bones on studio coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details.
Put your hands together for the most recent Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, of Oklahoma. Where is that trophy right now?
I sleep next to it.
It's on your nightstand?
Yeah.
So it's Good Morning Heisman every
tight,
day?
Yeah, tight.
Seriously, it's right there next to, like, there's a night table next to Kyler Murray's bed and the Heisman Trophy is resting
there. Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've had it in your arms, like you've been spooning with it by accident?
No, no, there's no spooning.
There's no Heisman spooning? No. And by the way, I would absolutely spoon with the Heisman if I won the Heisman.
Now taking part in the Rich Eisen Show Throw Challenge, Kyler Murray, is this the first NFL Duke ball that you have thrown? That's an NFL, oh my God, you won't even answer that.
Wow.
Go for it, Kyler, go for it. That's one.
First one, here we go.
That's two. Look at Murray, everybody. That's three. By the way, that's four. Those are all Duke NFL footballs. Just wanted everyone to know that.
First overall pick. First overall
pick. That's four. That's five.
Wow.
These are the footballs Kurt Warner complained about. That's six. That's seven.
Whoa.
That's oh my goodness. Here, let's get some.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Keep going.
I'm off.
You got one more?
Hold on, this is getting bad.
Here we go. No. Yeah, it's getting bad. You got seven for first seven. Good enough. Seven out of ten. Yeah. Kyler Murray. Good to see you, man. Appreciate it. Congratulations, you won the Heisman and it seems the Rich Eisen throwing contest in the same year. That's a first. No one could ever take that away from you.
Happy 27th birthday to Kyler Murray today. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One-time guest host and one of the more popular radio hosts in the United States of America, Bobby Bones, just landed here in Los Angeles. He's going to visit the Chargers today. So he's going to stop by in here.
Sweet.
By the way, we are happy to be the landing spot for anybody that's heading across the street.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Prior to going or coming back.
Yeah, we'll pit stop.
That's what Pelissero did last week, didn't he?
Yep.
Let's take a phone call here.
A lot of win-loss games, Rich.
Is that what they are? Yeah. A lot of win-loss games?
A lot of win-loss games.
Actually, come on out here. Bobby Bones is going to sit down right now, ladies and gentlemen.
He's just
come on
in?
Up. Bobby, right. We're live. Come on. You can sit down. Yeah, come on out, right, come on out, ladies and gentlemen.
Make your way out.
Bobby Bones is here. He just got here from beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. Good to see you. How are you, Bobby? Good to see you, man. Mike's got to turn his microphone on before it happens. Go.
Anything was boys.
Hold on. It's all good. We're live on the Rich Eisen Show radio and television network. Oh, don't. Are you touching his board, Chris? Is that what you're doing?
Chris can do it.
It's all right.
Chris has a.
Is it on, Mike? Is it
the
microphone
wrong one?
On?
He hit the wrong one, but don't worry.
That's like,
it's like family reunion that I was in a family for 2 days.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you, Bobby Bones. I'd like to apologize. I made a mistake on the way over here, and I don't do this. But I took a Xanax because I don't fly. I don't fly very well, and so I have a prescription from like 3 years ago, and I got off the plane, and I thought to myself, am I in Los Angeles? Like, where? So I'm a little disassociated right now. So let her rip.
Okay. So this is a perfect.
No chemicals in my body ever. So this is weird. I've never had alcohol. So when I take a Xanax, it wrecks it.
So this is truly, Chris, we're turning 10 this fall.
Yeah.
Is Bobby Bones the first Xanax infused guest we've ever had to admit
openly?
To come through the front door with it, I think. For sure.
It's just a warning in case you're like, man, what's up with that dude?
What is he saying?
So yeah,
good to see you.
I feel like I'm also imposing. You know how you go to someone's house and you knock on the door without being invited over, right? Back in the day when we were kids, we did that. You just show up at a neighbor's house, and it's not a big deal. Now if anyone did that, like I would be ready to.
I think that's a Sebastian Maniscalco bit where it used to be when you were a kid, people would just knock on the door and everyone would run to the door. Who's here? This is great. Let's go outside. Rang. Now if somebody knocks on your door, rings the bell, and it's just like,
I'm grabbing the
call bag. The cops.
Yep.
Yeah. What the hell's going on? Like, it's a very funny Sebastian Maniscalco bit. But I invited you.
But it was one of those.
I invited you. I'm like, hey, I heard you were coming. And I'm like, stop by. And you're like, actually, I don't know if the schedule is going to work out. Then I woke up this morning and I found out you might be coming by and it's all good.
I gave you every reason to say no. You said, hey, come by. And it's like when you say to someone, we should have dinner sometime. You don't really mean it unless you say we should have dinner at Thursday at 7:30 p.m.
Yes.
And I am a Rich Eisen stan. I've said this to you. I am your biggest fan. I have been for many, many years.
Bobby.
Filling in for you is a highlight of my career. And he was like, you should come by at some point in your life. And I was like, how about 2 days? So here we are.
And by the way, that's funny. But that's not a Nashville thing, is it? I thought it's an L.A. thing where you're like, we should hang out. And you don't really mean it. I thought that's an L.A. thing.
I think it's an everybody thing now when they don't mean it. In Nashville, it's like the creative thing is we should write sometime or we should really create.
Sure.
But really, that means I would prefer if we didn't run into each other again. But in case we do, this is the cordial thing to say.
Okay. Yeah. So here's what I feel like what we should do here. What I feel we should do is we should take a break instead of just throwing you on here. Are you a coffee drinker? Can we get you some coffee?
No coffee. Don't do coffee.
Okay. Does that affect
you? Here's what I can do. I don't want to be a diva, but I would like a catcher's mitt, a 2-foot-tall bottle of Zima, plastic.
Oh, Zima!
Yeah.
Zima!
And a pair of mismatched shoes.
Zima guy.
And I'll be good.
Zima with Chambord. Little Chambord.
What is happening?
Is there a hot tub time machine to get the Zima?
You want a Crystal Pepsi?
Does a Zima exist? Like, if we could make it happen for you.
I don't even drink. It's just I don't know why that came to my head.
Zima came back
fun.
Like 2 years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago.
How
maybe.
Would you even know?
Because
why
I bought it. Because I was a Zima drinker. It came back and it
that's
was
funny.
Game and left.
You're the one. You're the one. You're the one dude.
Yeah.
They admitted it. We liked that.
I did it. Little Chambord. My ex-wife liked it. It was a drink when we were dating.
Oh, my God.
It's in Japan.
All right. Yeah, I don't think we can get you one.
In Japan.
Sorry. I think that's where I am right now, as a matter of fact. In Japan.
Mentally in Japan, popping open a Zima. Oh, wow. My gosh. The very popular syndicated host, Bobby Bones, is stopped by right here before he goes across the street. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We can maybe even take a phone call or two with Bobby Bones right here on the Rich Eisen Show with Tony Hale in Hour 3. And I've got a power rankings as well on the best quarterbacks to win a game in the league, 1 through 10, coming up.
Bobby Bones!
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Bobby Bones here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience returns shortly. I don't know if this is right to do to somebody who's already admitted that he's hopped up on Xanax and he doesn't usually take these things. But Mark Dalton, one of the best in the business, media relations and communications, tweeted this out from the Arizona Cardinals. They are offering this at Arizona Cardinals games this year, the cotton candy burrito. Were you...
What are we doing?
You burrito this thing. You open it up. Let's see if we can open that up. Look at what's inside. Fruit Loops and...
Fruity Pebbles, right?
Yeah.
Candy, there's M&M's.
I don't mean to do
there.
This to you right now. This does look like you would be on some sort of induced haze here.
I feel like I should really be into that based on all the TV shows I've seen about people who feel like I feel right now. But doesn't look that good.
No.
Maybe it's my IBS hitting the version of Xanax right now.
I'm with you.
It's those two colliding.
Nope.
The IBS meets NFL.
Just a bad future. Wow. That's what I see is bad future for me right there.
Well, there's many franchises in the National Football League for whom their play induces irritable bowel.
Yikes.
And they don't need that sort of... push, but were those M&M's in there too?
Yeah, M&M's.
I feel like Nerds would be the proper candy for that. Like if I'm going,
yes, Nerds.
If we're in a room, a boardroom, it's like, all right, Bobby, consult on this. I would go. I feel like more Nerds and less chocolate inside of the cotton candy.
Yeah, Spree, or is that too large of a disc to place in there?
What about Smarties?
Smarties are great. I think Spree is amazing, but they're hard on the teeth.
Yeah.
And with those, you kind of blindly go in, much like a burrito. You have to blindly go into that.
And if you need a dusting on top, a little fun dip.
A little fun dip, yep.
And you slice it open with that sugar stick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've hit Fun Dip and Zima.
I don't think those mix, Bobby.
We're retro VH1 in the 90s right now. Totally.
Bobby Bones here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
Rich, we got breaking news.
What do you got?
Mike, hit it.
Just,
hang on.
Oh, we got the breaking news drop right here.
Here it comes.
Oh, and Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
With Bobby Bones sitting here, what do we have?
6 minutes ago, the 49ers have announced the following roster move. They've signed wide receiver Jonte Kirkland.
Oh, come on. You're going to tease us like that?
Yeah. And running back Keyshawn Vaughn to one-year deals.
What are you doing over there?
That's the tease.
The Niners are literally trolling everyone by putting out this post.
Or they're conducting their business.
Really, very convenient as the world waits to see where they're trading their superstar wide receiver to announce roster moves.
Or is this, were they on the team? This is new? Do we know? I mean,
well, in order to make room on the roster, they released Eric Harris and Tariq Owens.
Good update.
You got it.
And I question if you guys would...
Bobby Bones, the floor is yours, sir.
Expert opinions. He obviously didn't want to go to the Patriots.
Correct. Yes.
Do we just feel like the Patriots, even though they have... Well, they're the rookie... He's not going to start, obviously.
I don't believe so.
Right. Do we feel like we would not want to go to the Patriots as well? Like, the organization is overall worse now than going to, like, the Steelers?
No. This is not, I believe, an organizational issue or an issue, I wouldn't think, with the area. They're not ready to win right now. They're just not ready to win right now.
The Steelers are their record.
The Steelers don't have a rookie guy. I mean, although, how about this? Mike Tomlin today mentioned how Justin Fields is going to start their preseason game. And Russell Wilson's not playing. He's not healthy. So, Justin Fields, here we are in August, and with conversation of who's going to start. If I'm Ayuk, obviously I would take the combination of Justin Fields and a potentially banged up, soon to be healthy Russell Wilson, hopefully, for the Steelers, over Jacoby Brissett and a raw rookie who might not be ready. And a roster that had only won a handful of games last year over the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are otherwise loaded, I think. I would take that for sure. And then there's the Browns, who made the playoffs last year.
Indulge me on a Steelers question.
Sure.
Do we like Justin Fields because of the camp videos we're watching, or because the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy on campus?
Can we say both?
We can't
say
both.
And also, we saw what he did at times for the Chicago Bears. And potentially has a better offensive line up front than he ever had in Chicago. And weapons and an offensive coordinator like Arthur Smith better than he's maybe ever had in Chicago. And he can go to work a little bit better there in a new spot where he doesn't have the, well, you were drafted, you know, top third of the draft by us. You're now here. We basically didn't give up much for you, but we believe in you're going to give you an opportunity. And he steps out in his hometown in Atlanta. If he gets the gig, right? In Atlanta, week one.
That's the stuff. I think it's happening. With Ayuk? I think he's starting week one.
And, well, I mean, at this point in time,
he has to.
Yeah. But Russ, I guess he heard his calf pushing
a sled.
A sled.
Do quarterbacks push sleds? What's happening
now? I
haven't
even heard of that before.
I thought they wore a jersey that kept them away from the sled, like two Norths on a magnet. Like, if you put on that jersey, you don't go near the equipment.
There is some sort of. I shouldn't go that route. I'm not a science guy. Terrible at that. Why don't even go in that? I never got the green wedge in Trivial Pursuit ever.
The green wedge of science.
The green wedge of science.
Orange, which is where I went first.
Orange,
of course.
Yeah, it was always right.
Orange and yellow.
Yeah.
Yellow. That's history.
Yeah, history's good.
Oh, I went pink. Entertainment, pop culture,
pink,
babe.
Pink entertainment, yeah.
Okay.
I'm also wildly colorblind, so I know the orange.
That's a very bad game to be colorblind.
That's why
playing.
When you guys were going around, I was like, I'm going to sit the rest of this out because I'm not sure really what was what.
Jeez, you're colorblind and hopped up on Xanax right now.
I'm starting to feel the Xanax wane a bit. Thank you.
Bobby Bones, Waning Xanax. What album was Waning Xanax? Whose album was Waning Xanax?
Pink Floyd, right?
And the Wiggles. The Wiggles also had a version, which is really great. It's my favorite Wiggles. It was the early days before they sold out and wore the jumpsuits. Yeah. It was good.
That's a good one, Bobby. Why are you going across? Did Harbaugh invite you across the street? How'd you get to the Chargers? What's going on?
I would like to apologize to you and to Coach Harbaugh. Harbaugh is no longer doing an interview with me today. I'm still going to the Chargers. But the reason I think it's happened, I also now really dislike the guy who took all the pictures and ruined Michigan.
You're talking about Connor Stallions?
I don't want to say his name. He's like Voldemort to me now. Because what I think is, we were going to talk to Harbaugh today, but I think now that the new story's out, I would be dodging everybody too if all they want to ask about is that again. So we came to the Chargers camp. We're still going. We're going to have fun. We're going to hang out with some players, talk to some players.
There you go.
But Harbaugh now, and I think it is a wise decision, has decided I'm not doing any interviews with people I don't trust, which, if it were me, it would be the entire body of sports media right now.
So you have reversed course on Connor Stallions, because, again, I'm a current. Is it current, or you put on another pod?
No. You're the current guest on 25 Whistles, my sports show.
Okay, very good. And get it, where all podcasts can be acquired. And in this conversation, you, Arkansas Razorback diehard.
I would love a Connor Stallions for Arkansas, That's what I said.
And I told you, no, you don't.
He's ruined it for me now, so now I hate Connor Stallions, too.
But I told you that.
And I knew exactly why he said that.
You want to explain it?
You want someone to care enough to go to those great lengths to win games.
He wrote a manifesto and nobody got hurt. How rare is that one comes to surface and it wasn't for a terrible... But no, I I hate Connor Stallions now as well, because he ruined our Harbaugh experience today.
See, you're like a lot of politicians where you rail against something until it happens to you, and now suddenly, you know, or you like something until it happens to you, then you rail against it.
Unfair. Okay. I would say I actually learned from my mistake and pivoted, unlike the politicians.
Ah.
Yes. But you were right. I was wrong.
You have awareness. You're a man of the people.
Very little.
Understood. So who are you going to see over there? Do you know? Or are you just going to go and hang out?
Yeah, we're just going to go. And we have some players we're going to work with. Jerry Rice's son?
Yes.
He's going to be over there.
Maybe the GOAT will be just...
Yeah, just hanging out.
Around.
Maybe fill in. I have something.
By the way, another Dancing with the Stars veteran, Jerry Rice.
He did the show.
He finished runner-up. By the way, one of my favorite stories about Jerry Rice's remarkable, unparalleled sense of competition, being a competitor.
He lost to Drew Lachey. Yikes.
Why is a boy band, though? He has experience.
Careful. Jerry might hear this.
I understand.
So I was hosting a live Pro Bowl show on NFL Network. Emmitt Smith, Jerry Rice together at a Pro Bowl while in their playing days. And it was just awesome. Just, you've got the greatest receiver and the most prolific running back of all time right there. And I went to break. It was a two-segment situation. I went to break saying, we'll come back and we'll talk about Dancing with the Stars with a guy who won it all and a guy who didn't. And that 3.5-minute long commercial break felt like 3.5 years with Jerry Rice staring a hole through me like Homelander. You know what I mean? Pretty much.
Laser beams.
You know, like he was pissed off. So
it takes a lot of dedication if you actually want to win that show. If you don't have it. By the way, I won the show. I know you look at. I'll just say it. I won the show.
You've got the ball, the trophy in your podcast studio.
We actually use it to weight down a table because once a guest fell over in the chair, so now we put it behind the table. But this is my greatest Dancing with the Stars story. It was the finals. I was never really that good of a dancer, but I understood the formula of how to win the show.
Yes.
And it's the finale, and Emmitt Smith is in the audience. And I'm like, that's crazy. I've never met Emmitt before. I was like, that's crazy. That's Emmitt Smith. And I'm in the hallway before my final dance. And I'm nervous, just pacing a little bit. And Emmitt Smith comes out in the hallway to find me. And he goes, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm a little nervous. He goes, well, you should be, because this right here, it all comes down to this. And I'm like, well, that's making me a little more nervous. And he said to me, you should be nervous, but I would bet, because I guess Emmitt watches. Anybody that watches, we understand how hard it was. Yeah, he goes, by watching you this whole year, no one is more prepared than you. So just go be prepared and win the thing. And so I go out and I win the show. And the very first person to come up to me after, it's like the big, Emmitt broke through the crowd and came up and just hugged me immediately.
No way.
It was the greatest sports highlight that Emmitt Smith hugged me at a dance competition. Who can say that? And I have a picture of us together right after. And I remember thinking, Emmitt will never be my friend again. But for this one moment, we have this shared experience in sports where we were both champions. And so it was awesome. Yeah, I've since tried to DM him. He doesn't respond. But for that, like, 30 seconds, it was the greatest.
And as they say to champions, no one can ever take that away from you.
They cannot. And I do keep it. My wife doesn't let me keep it in the house anymore. It's in the studio now.
Yes. Look at my studio. I know exactly that. We talked about that on your podcast as well. Because your studio is in your home, your beautiful home, and I asked you what, in fact, is yours in that house, because it looked like something that potentially, even though we had never met, that was the first day we'd actually met in person.
We
and
knew,
now
here
it's now twice in the same week. We can't knew. Quit each other. But I knew, I basically said, you don't have a lot of your own stuff in that
house.
Yeah,
and I said zero. Yes. I would like to say something about Rich. And this is, I don't want to be embarrassing toward you. Hopefully we have a minute or so.
We do. We got about 2.5.
Okay, I've got two things. One, I am fans of certain people. I listen to podcasts. I feel like I know people. I've mentioned to you, like, I listen to Big Cat. I have all these people. Yeah. When I was here, I met Craig Kilborn because he was someone that I looked up to, but because of the show. And I always wonder people that I don't know if they're actually cool in real life. That matters to me because we don't get to see them. We see a version of what they want us to see. Mm-hmm. And I would like to let everybody out there that listens to the show or has watched you through the years. This is a rare thing, but you are as warm and accommodating and nice and friendly as you are on this show. You are that in real life. And that was so surprising to me, not because it was you, but because that is very rare.
Thank you.
So for everybody out there, if you're like, I wonder if Rich is that cool, like, Rich is that cool, and he surrounds himself with like-minded and acting people. So that is it. I am such a big fan of just the operation after being in it, but also getting to know you a little bit.
And it means that much more that the Xanax was waning.
Yeah, it's completely waning.
As you said it.
Completely waning.
You know, this is not influenced by anything.
Thank you.
That you truly feel this way, it means a lot.
Thank you. I do feel it. That 30 seconds? Do I have 30 seconds?
You do.
Okay. I have this card I need you to sign. Okay. Here's the thing. I opened this box from Topps because I'm a collector in the hobby.
Okay.
And it was an error card and it wasn't autographed.
I've got a
Sharpie pen? Oh, I have one right here.
I got one right here too.
And so here's what happened.
Okay.
The guy whose card it is, Reese Olson, he won't respond to my DMs either, like Emmett.
Yeah.
So I've signed it. I've got country music star Thomas Rhett to sign it. I'm going to get you to sign it.
Okay.
I have a couple other people, and then I'm going to travel to Detroit to get him to sign it and then auction it off for St. Jude.
Fantastic.
And this will be a one of one. And
nice.
I think we can get $10,000 for this thing give to the hospital. So it's weird to sign a card that's not you, but this whole life is weird, Rich. So if you'll undo that.
I shall do that. No problem.
And just sign
in the meantime,
a little piece over there.
In the 40 seconds we have left, what are we promoing? Your
nothing.
Daily show?
We're
the Bobby
promoing
Bones
nothing
show?
Except love each other. Go Arkansas Razorbacks. Donate to the Arkansas Razorback NIL. How about that promo? Give money to the Arkansas Razorback NIL.
John Calipari's your head coach now.
Yeah, he doesn't need it. Football needs it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got millions. He's got Tyson chicken money. We got nuggets out there now.
Just give this guy a Xanax and he turns into Connor Stallion. Look at that. You have become Connor
Stallion.
Why can't
Stallion. You
he's
be
in Connor disguise.
Stallion? Yeah, that's what
he's
I mean.
He's in disguise.
You take it over.
Mine was legal, though. Mine was legal.
Got it.
Mine's legal, yeah.
Bobby Bones, everybody,
thank
right
you.
Here on the show.
Thank you.
Tony Hale in studio coming up in hour number three. We're still here on Roku for another 90
Bobby,
seconds.
What would be your Olympic sport that you think you could medal in?
Nice.
Sitcom trivia, knowing the actors who actually played the people. Reginald Bell Johnson, Family Matters.
Right.
You know.
All right, let me give you one. Let me give you one.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Who played the governor in Benson?
You're talking about like the stuff from the 60s.
Okay.
That's like, who played
by the way,
Uncle
by the way, hold on
I
a second.
Said 90s.
80s.
I literally said 90s. And he's like, who played the sheriff in Gunsmoke? I don't know who played third extra in Gunsmoke. I said 90s.
All right, 90s. Chris, call it up. Call it up. Give me a quick
no,
one.
I was looking up Benson.
Yeah, is Benson the housekeeper that was really funny?
No, he was the only guy who's ever gone from butler to governor.
All right, who is the doctor in Seinfeld that told George that his wife had died?
What?
Yeah, that's too deep, man.
Yeah, you got to.
That's a famous actor.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, never mind.
Stars.
You'll never meddle in this,
matter,
Bobby. You'll never meddle in this.
I won't. Anyway, that was what I thought I could meddle in. I can't get out of regionals, apparently. Yes.
Mine was 2-bounce tennis.
I don't know what that is. That like just
it's
it
not
takes
anything.
2 bounces to get
yeah,
to?
If you gave me a second bounce, I'd meddle.
I think another one of mine would probably be saying the exact wrong thing to my wife. I've only been married 3 years, so I don't really know how to like handle some of that. fine or sure, like those words.
It's all right.
I haven't quite mastered yet.
Listen, there's still time, Bobby.
Okay.
Bobby Bones, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're sending him off across the street to the Chargers.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.